together to fight for what we love.
And a significant amount of privilege and power over other groups.
You're listening to
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
A CITR podcast.
So, hey, thank you so much for joining us on CITR 101.9 FM.
Thank you, Milena. I am really appreciative of being here with you today, and I'm grateful for the invitation to share my story and have this kind of discussion with you.
On Monday, June 9th, I called the individual at the center of an incident of racial profiling and harassment on UBC's campus.
Sure. So my name is Shelby McPhee. Graduated last year with my bachelor's degree in political science from Acadia University in Nova Scotia, East Coast. I think that is the East Coast, right?
Yeah.
That is the East Coast.
Yeah, it is.
I doubted myself there for a while.
Earlier this month, Shelby was invited to UBC by the Black Canadian Students Association to present at Congress, a conference held by the Canadian Federation for the Humanities and Social Sciences.
And then it would have been my first time on beautiful, very, very beautiful campus, UBC campus. And so I was excited to be there, and I was just astounded by the beauty of the school. And so I came to present, and, you know, as they say, the rest is history from there.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. The Canadian Federation for the Humanities and Social Sciences is an organization that, according to their website, promotes research and teaching for the advancement of an inclusive, democratic, and prosperous society. It represents over 90,000 grad students and researchers across Canada. Once a year, this federation holds a huge academic gathering.
Congress. The Congress is the event, the scholarly event that the Federation puts on. People get to come, share their research, share their scholarly research, you know, glean from other scholars, learn from other scholars. You know, it's just, it's a week of, you know, intellectual masturbation that way.
Shelby was at the Congress to present his thesis.
Yes, I was presenting my research on my thesis that I'm working on right now. My thesis, looks at the role white women played in colonialism. That's the interesting part of this entire twist, right?
Wow.
Is that my thesis looks at the white woman's role in colonialism. They played a particular kind of role in managing, not necessarily policing at the time, but managing and controlling the body of the native, or managing and controlling the body in the space that the marginalized person occupied, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what my thesis looks at. And then, lo and behold, this thing, right, where my body, my marginalized body, is managed in UBC, at UBC. So that's what I was presenting on, the role in which women played in, one, colonialism, the role in which marginalized women played in the decolonization agenda.
Wow. Could you describe to me what happened on Sunday at the conference? You were there, ready to present your thesis on this. How did everything pan out?
Yeah, for sure. So I was excited to present, and so that Sunday I had just come in, I just got off of a flight. I flew through the night to get to BC because of the time difference and all of that. So I just arrived in Vancouver.
Shelby ended up meeting a colleague on the plane, and the two of them hit it off and went to campus early to register.
9:10. So we had a lot of time to play with. And so we got on the campus, we registered, and we decided we were going to work on putting our presentation together. And so we spent some time putting our presentation together, and then we got up to go to lunch. UBC has all these amazing food places, the deli on campus. It was amazing. And then from there, we went to look at the rooms that we were going to be presenting in. As we were leaving the campus, we realized that the two people or two individuals that had been sitting at the table that we were at earlier that day when we were polishing off our research presentations, were speaking to one another, and well, the lady that was at the time was on her phone saying that the two gentlemen that were sitting next to us earlier are passing us now. And we knew that she was speaking about us because we recognized them from
that. It started to look like the couple was taking a picture of Shelby and his friend. Then the couple started to follow them. Eventually, the man hid after they had made eye contact, and then they headed for the volunteer booth.
And so what happened was we dashed into the volunteer booth, and we went over there to the volunteer booth, and we asked, you know, what's the problem? It looks like you're following us. And so he said, there's no problem. He looked at my friend, and he says, I recognize you from earlier today, but I don't recognize you. And he's talking to me, and he says, are you registered with this conference? And so it's important to remember that my friend is white, I'm black. I'm the only one that has our registration material in our hands. He has his registration material in his bag. And this gentleman is asking me, are you registered for this conference? And so in my defense, I say, well, it's none of your business if I'm registered or not. You are not the police. You are not campus security. But furthermore, why are you asking me if I'm registered? You should be asking him, who's not wearing anything. At this moment, I knew what this was because he was asking me if I was registered, and he wasn't asking my white friend if he was registered. And so that's the reason why I replied the way I replied. And then he said, well, we just want to know because my laptop was stolen. And so I said, are you accusing me of stealing your laptop? His wife or his friend or whoever this white woman comes over, and she says, you know, we don't recognize you. Are you registered for this conference? That's none of your concern. If I'm registered, why are you asking me? You should be asking him. And I said, you know, she said, well, you know, the RCMP is on their way because our laptop was stolen and they're going to come and sort this out right now.
Campus security was called, but they wouldn't respond. And instead, the RCMP arrived to detain Shelby.
To softly detain me. They didn't handcuff me or hold me, but they stood on the side of me as if to say, you know, don't move. And it's very important to remember that if I had run, it would have looked like some kind of admission of guilt. So I stayed. The RCMP came. The RCMP realized that the claims were groundless, and so, you know, they let me go. But what's also interesting to remember here and to point out is that the Federation's representative came down, and when she came down, she spoke first to accusers, and she never spoke to me. She allowed the white woman and the white man to control the narrative as per the usual, and she never came to me until the RCMP had in some way exonerated me as if I was a criminal.
In these progressive spaces, like these so-called progressive spaces, like these acts are still happening. And so one of the questions I wanted to ask you was how you think that in the realm of humanities and social sciences, like we can begin practicing these papers we write on the political body or on the immigrant body, on the black body, the Chilean body, or the Latina body. Like, I don't know, like how do we make sure that things like this don't happen again? But like, how do we navigate that in academia, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
I think the first thing that we have to remember and the first thing that we as academics have to agree on is that racism is not obsolete in academic spaces. Racism, racial profiling, discrimination, these kinds of things are not obsolete in academic spaces. There is a preponderance of these actions in these spaces, right? That people are looked at and viewed differently and read differently every single day in academic environments, right? From the way in which we choose which scholarship matters to the way in which we credit knowledge, right? There is racial discrimination every single day in academia. That's the first thing that we have to understand. That's the first thing that we have to acknowledge before we begin unpacking and doing the work of decolonizing academic spaces, right? All of this, I think, is a part of a larger or more broader context of what's happening or what needs to be happening at the national level in Canada, right? That understanding, one, that these things aren't obsolete in academic spaces. That's the first thing. The second thing I think that we need to do, and I don't know if this makes sense, but the second thing I think we need to do is, you know, just be open to different kinds of knowledge, be open to different kinds of scholarship. You know, I am doing a paper now that looks at when people begin to view their position as the norm, that's problematic. When you begin to view what you do, say, and how you act as the norm, that's problematic. That means that you are not open to different kinds of understandings, different kinds of readings, different kinds of ontologies, and different ways of being and different ways of living. And that's the thing with scholars, right? A lot of scholars are not open to those different kinds of things.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Could I ask what the current status is between you and the Federation and UBC?
UBC has given me one plain statement that they don't condone, I've alleged a racial profiling. That boils my blood every single time I hear that word, that I'm alleging this. This is nothing that I'm alleging. I have people that are...
The statement, which uses the word alleged to describe the racial profiling and harassment Shelby experienced, was released on June 5th. It received a lot of backlash, including from UBC's very own Black Students Union. It states that UBC Human Resources is supporting the Federation in its investigation of this incident. But in terms of Shelby and the Federation...
There is a kind of a standoff now between us, because I am calling particularly for them to release the names of my accusers and force my accusers, one, to be... My accusers to face the music, right? They broke the code of conduct, so they should be, therefore, be expelled and face the consequences. Second, they need to begin to do the work of reconciliation with me.
Shelby isn't certain why the Federation won't release the names of his accusers, though he has his suspicions.
What I do know is that it's not a good look for the Federation.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not a good look for the Federation. It makes the Federation seem that they're more interested in their donors and upholding the whiteness and white supremacy in the organization, rather than working to dismantle this whiteness and this white supremacy and create an equal playing field for all and ensure that there is safe, discrimination-free environments for people of color, for marginalized communities, and for people that dwell at the margins of life.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's where we are now with the Federation.
As of the publication of this piece, Shelby still has not been given the names of his accusers from the Federation. UBC did, however, release a revised apology on Wednesday, June 12th. It starts with the line, "We made a mistake." It goes on to say that the language used in the original statement only made a bad situation worse. The new apology states that Shelby was subjected to anti-Black racism, racial profiling, and harassment. It does not use the word alleged. Do you think that there's any next steps that you believe Congress can address in the following Congress or for 2020?
I do. I think that the Congress should work toward putting BCSA as one of the leading organizations next year in the Federation to ensure that those kinds of conversations are happening, right? How do we work against anti-Black racism and racial violence, racial discrimination in our academic spaces, in our universities, and in our research, in our scholarly research. I think that the Federation needs to build a better relationship with the association, because the association is the leading association that brings the coloredness, if I can say that, to the fore, to the organization, right? That the BCSA does that work. They bring the most Black people to the Federation. Without the BCSA, the Federation would be whitewashed and sprinkled with other communities. They're like a dash of them. But the BCSA does the work of bringing Black and brown people to the Congress. And I think that the Federation needs to build a better relationship with the BCSA and put the BCSA at the fore in the next Congress to ensure that those kinds of complicated conversations are happening.
Shelby, once again, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.